Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. Another single shot episode of Matt Men until we get our camera situation situated. But I'm joined by the latest candidate for New York City Mayor, Rich Stamboli.
I think I would do a good job.
Yeah?
I think I would do it.
What would be your policy? Give me like your top three policies.
I will run on the platform that I ran winning the GM of my college radio station, which was WPWR. We party with Rich.
You know what? That's a great campaign.
F and one. And then I would say, you know what? No more metered parking. You can park anywhere. All hours of the day. You can park anywhere you want as long as it's okay.
Fire hydrants?
No fire hydrants.
Okay. Driveways?
No driveways. You respect the regular rules, but it's like Sunday.
What would you do with all the outdoor dining shantyvilles that they've built?
Destroy them.
Destroy all of them. Plow them all down.
If they're nice, yeah. I'll keep them.
No, I want all of them gone.
If the shanty ones are gone.
Gone.
You know what else I would do?
What?
If you have a residence that is within a half a mile of a train station,
okay,
you are not allowed to drive your car into the city.
Love it.
If you live between 14th and 72nd and that's your residence, you are not allowed to own a car.
Love it. I want no cars.
That's it.
You know what? Bicycles.
Yeah.
But like the old timey bikes.
Oh, like big wheel front, small wheel back.
Old timey bikes only. Guys, Rich is going to make New York great again.
No, don't say that.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. That's your campaign.
Don't say that.
That's your campaign.
Don't say that.
That's your campaign.
Don't say that.
We got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, the draft was last night. Mm-hmm. We're doing the show on a Tuesday. My daughter's home.
Yeah.
Because her classroom is shut down. Because the school made a boo-boo and did not update their policy. And they have to revert back to like the original way and what they used to do.
Uh-huh.
So she's home for the next 10 days. And I'm home on Tuesday. And Rich was like, hey, why don't we do the show right now? So we do have a lot to talk about, obviously. Also, Rampage stuff. More possible debuts happening soon. We got SmackDown highlights. We got Q&A session, actually, at the end of the show. So remember, use the hashtag AskMattMen on Twitter. You could also put them here in the chat room, and your super chats will get priority. Here we go. Where do you want to go, Rich?
My God, Joe Pearl dropping that bomb in the chat room. I think he needs a timeout. So, I mean, like, the big topic is the draft, but since we're doing the show on Tuesday, the last episodic wrestling program was Rampage. Do you want to go into Rampage at all?
Yeah, I want to talk about Rampage because I made a tweet that upset a lot of people.
I saw your tweet. I wasn't upset by it, but I think let's discuss this. Okay.
So let me just say, it's very difficult to explain things online.
Right.
What I tend to do most of the time is drop a thought process that I have, explain it a little bit, and then go into detail on the show, because then it can be taken out of, you know, however you want to take it. At least it's coming out of my mouth rather than you filling in the blanks. Go ahead, Rich.
So, Rampage, as we know, usually three matches, right?
Yeah.
Your opener this week on Friday, 10 o'clock at night, right after SmackDown, Bryan Danielson beating Nick Jackson with Matt Jackson and Brandon Cutler. 15-minute match. Love the match.
Opener.
Great match. It was the opener for Rampage.
Fantastic match.
Fantastic match, right? I'm going to do the matches. Jade Cargill beat Nyla Rose and Thunder Rosa, triple threat match. Orange Cassidy beat Jack Evans at the main event, hair versus hair match. Jack Evans lost. So, three matches, 1 hour show.
Yeah.
Right? Their rating was 622,000.
622?
Right. 622,000, right?
Yeah.
I kind of find that, I'm not a numbers guy, you're the numbers guy, and I know you're going to unpack this, but I find that fascinating, having Daniel Bryan open the show.
Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense, right? Because the theory here has always been, all right, we have a show right before us that is exactly what we do, right? Professional wrestling, doing over 2 million viewers. Any point in the night, it could be upwards of 5 million people tune in, right? That was a number I got a while ago. It's like, somebody one time told me almost 7 million people tuned in. It could have been like the first SmackDown that they had, but it varies. Like if you, I got to get the numbers. I could ask somebody, but I want to know like the overall numbers that like those tune in. That's like 1 minute of viewership. That's how they do it, right?
Oh, okay. So after a minute, you get calculated.
Somebody that has watched at least a minute.
Okay.
or less. It's like it could be like it's around the minute mark, okay. like less than a minute or whatever. It could be in the millions. But the way that AEW sees it is that, listen, there's obviously X amount of people that are interested in wrestling. It's the biggest audience for wrestling during the week, uh-huh. that night. Let's piggyback off of that. So at 10 o'clock that show goes on, you have 2 million people maybe looking to watch something else.
Yeah.
We've discovered that the numbers are around the 600 mark.
Yes, the numbers were 622,000. Yeah. I mistakenly call it the rating.
The rating, yes.
it was a 600 rating.
I would love it. Imagine if they got a 600 share.
Right?
The entire planet was watching Rampage.
They'd have 3 dedicated channels on television.
So, my tweet was, let me find this, because I actually want to do it justice, because some people got very upset with me.
Was it the Kiss of Wrestling tweet that you put out this morning?
The Kiss of Wrestling
Today's tweet, international yeah. Kiss
well,
of Wrestling.
Well, people are like, oh, you're just doing this for the WWE stands. I'm like, I could be honest about how I feel. And I literally wrote, this is my opinion. This isn't anybody else's opinion. This is my opinion at the moment.
Right? At the moment. Okay? Exactly. I'm glad you said that.
Here's what it was. Moment.
Yeah.
Fast track AEW Rampage viewership is disappointing when you look at it via an interest and star level. All right? Yeah. Let me just start off with that. Forget about the fast track number in the fives. Let's talk about the 622.
Please.
You're opening the show with Nick Jackson and Bryan Danielson.
Right.
They're doing, I think the number was like 700 something that watched that match. It's not about the rating. My point is the perception and star power.
Okay.
The amount of effort that's going into the show. You're taking a Bryan Danielson match and putting it on Rampage rather than Dynamite. Is it doing you more good or more harm? That's my question. And they're in this conundrum now, because it's a 1-hour show. That's great. But a guy like Bryan Danielson, these ratings matter now on Dynamite. These ratings matter a lot. 1.1 million, 1.2 million. That's where you need to stay. Are you hurting that number? How much higher will that number be if that Bryan Danielson match was on Dynamite?
Do you think it would have, if we stay on the track with Rampage, do you think that number would have been higher if it was the main event of Rampage?
No, I don't think so. I think it's the night, it's the time slot, you know. Okay. It's a Friday night. First of all, Friday night, you're 18 to 48. Let's say 18 to 34.
Sure.
What are you doing on a Friday night, Rich?
Now that the world is open, if I was in that age, I probably would be playing a show with my band.
You'd probably be playing a show with your band.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Coco's starting a band.
Oh, yeah.
He's looking to join a band.
The Coco Experience?
The Big Coco Experience, yeah. It's just him bass, like strumming with like finger picking his bass with no actual music. It's just him going boom, 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 boom. Randomly.
I like that.
So we got to look at it that way. And that's my point with this discussion.
Got it.
600,000, 700,000, that's fine. That's great. And that's a very good number for the night. However, how much weaker would that number be if you didn't have a Danielson match to open that show?
Ooh, that's
and how much stronger would your Rampage number be? Would your Dynamite number be, I should say, if it was the reverse? If you had that match on Rampage, on Dynamite, what would that have done to the rating? Would you have been at 1.25?
It's very interesting to think about that. But I do think, objectively, I do think, since Tony Khan is also probably one of the biggest numbers guys,
He's a tremendous numbers guy, and he don't totally understand. I'm not saying this in a net like they're in trouble. I'm saying this now that they've been established. I think I think we need to honestly have a discussion about, you know, like, how does this look?
I agree with that. I think there has to be some kind of Venn diagram is the one with the circles, right?
Which one?
The Venn diagram.
Yes, with the circle.
There has to be some kind of Venn diagram in place for guys specifically like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, right? Yes. His match would have popped numbers if it was on Dynamite, right?
Oh, that's what you're saying. That's another thing. Exactly. I totally forgot about the CM Punk match.
Right. So that being said, you know, there has to be something else at play here where it's like you can't have the guys they just signed who were former WWE guys dominate your show, right?
I get that, totally.
Opening match on Friday, I think, is a perfect move. But, like you're saying, it doesn't seem like the numbers reflect that.
I think this is going to be...
It's weird.
This is going to be something that they got to... I'm sure that, listen, Tony's looking at this unbelievably, right?
Right.
They're analyzing these numbers. These are stuff that I really love looking at. Somebody wrote something. It was like statistics. And I was like, let me tell you something about statistical analytics.
Let me tell you something about those statistics.
I could make... Statistics don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You can make numbers look however you want it to look, depending on how you're presenting it.
Yeah.
You know, 650,000 people on a Friday night at 10 o'clock, the number two show on TV, sounds really great.
Right.
But if I told you it's removing maybe 250 to 300,000 people from Dynamite, from that segment, how would you feel then? I'm not saying that that's the number. I'm saying these are numbers that they're going to have to look at.
Right.
And the future of Rampage is going to be telling what happens. I think. Listen, if you get a Bray Wyatt, right? You get Wyndham Rotunda, and you get Kevin Steen,
sure.
And you get Sami Zayn. What would Sami Zayn be called in AEW if he goes there?
Ooh, that's
he wouldn't be El Generico again,
right? You think he would just be Rami?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Just like his name, maybe. first name, last name.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I want to get, do you think I'm off with this? I really want to know what people think. I'm not saying this as an authoritarian on analytics. I'm saying this as, I'm just very curious.
I don't think you're wrong. Again, I'm not a numbers guy, but I tend to agree with you because I can't read or count. I can't count past 15. But I think the positive of this, it shows that people are watching wrestling on a Friday night after 10 o'clock.
Listen, 600,000 people, 700,000 people are watching after 10 o'clock. And that's unbelievable.
Right. I think at the end of the day, that's the underlying thing. This is unbelievable. This is happening. Everything with AEW is unbelievable that this is happening. It's the alternative, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
We're getting lots of crazy stuff going on. I'm fascinated by the numbers thing because the numbers thing drives the deals with the networks, right? For the most part.
Yeah.
Advertisers, viewership.
That all matters.
Right.
Listen, and TNT has a hit on their hands on a Friday night,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like, okay, I got to find out. Somebody probably knows this, but if like TNT's airing Snowpiercer at 10 o'clock, what does that do to the ratings? Like, what's that rating like? I want to know what that time slot was like. I remembered this at one point. I forgot it now. But, you know, it's something interesting to discuss where... You know, are you taking away from one product?
Mm.
By the way, this is the greatest photo ever. Jonathan just did a Photoshop. The only way to save New York, and it's you and I running for mayor.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. And I love my dopey. I think that's Cuomo. I could tell by his Frankenstein shoulders in the photo. But I love how dopey they all look in their unfit suits.
I do like that. Could you send that to the group? Because I want
Jonathan, but send that in the group.
We got to run with that.
I think it's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna find out more once you know they get more established. I think right now it's a trial, it's a test period. But you know, you got to look at all of that.
Yeah, and it's you know it's also interesting too because this is stuff that other companies have tried to do for years. You know, like has Impact or TNA or whatever you want to call it ever had those numbers?
Impact, yeah,
yeah,
like, yeah, but a different era. They were doing like 1.6 million.
How long ago? Like early 2000s.
I think the episode where Bubba powerbombed Dixie,
okay,
was like 1.4 million. But I could be wrong. Somebody MG Geek has that number. If I'm right with that number, like 1314,
yeah.
I'm a freaking savant.
Large has a good question. Yeah. Large 23. I wonder if the numbers are live numbers or altogether numbers, West Coast numbers included, question mark?
Yeah, so those are included because that's why the fast track, there's a fast track rating and there's a fast track number and there's the actual one. It's not including DVR plus 3, DVR plus 7. It's just including live viewership and any streaming provider that participates in sending over the analytics.
I'm going to interject again.
Yeah.
As far as Sami Zayn's new name in AEW, I, as in Joel Pearl, came up with a great one, Rami Cage Page.
Oh, that's perfect. He could be part of anybody's family.
So, what are... Does this affect the... Like, in your opinion, does this affect Dynamite at all? Is it going to have an adverse effect? Just on viewership, not content. You know, because like no, this is not a content issue.
It's not a con. They have plenty of. I mean, listen, they have four shows a week now, right? They got Rampage, they got Dark Elevation, and Dynamite.
Yeah.
And then a pay-per-view. So five shows a week. I'm not really watching Dark Elevation and Dark that often. I'll watch a match if it's good. I just don't have any time to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am watching Rampage. It's an easy show to watch. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the other problem is it doing justice? The crowd is tired, right? Mm-hmm. The crowd is tired by that point.
Yeah.
That's why you want to get the Daniel Bryan match on, Bryan Danielson match on mm-hmm. first. Would it make sense to film everything other than the main event prior?
Right.
You don't do Dark Elevation. You just do Rampage matches mm-hmm. in whatever order. And then you do the main event after the show's done. So at 10 o'clock, you do your main event. So people are hot for a main event.
Yeah.
And that's you know, and then they know that they're going home after this. So they don't have another hour of tape.
I also do think that younger crowds, probably within their demo, have more patience. Like, I remember, I'm going to use myself as an example. You remember Ozfest?
Yeah.
I used to go every year.
Did you really?
2 days.
Gross.
Right?
That's yuck.
Yeah. In my late teens, early 20s, right? I would go every year, and I would stay there from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. 12-hour days.
Wow.
Right? I ate it all up. I wanted more. When that show was, when Ozzy was done, I was like, oh, I can't believe the show's over. Right? At 18, I had that stamina to do a 12-hour day of concerts and all this shit, walking around, right?
Yeah.
I think the younger fans in the audience have that stamina to do a 5-hour taping, you know? We're a little older, and I don't think it's a stamina thing. I think it's a patience thing.
I think it is a patience thing. I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a combination of the stuff, you know? I personally don't want to be in a building till midnight.
Right.
The highest viewed impact was 1.45 when Hogan, Flair, and Hardy all debuted per Meltzer.
Oh, thanks, MG.
All right. There you go. I thought they did like 1.6 million at one point. I could be wrong.
Hogan, man, that guy's a draw. Yeah. You know, they should really put the belt on that guy. I see that young guy going places.
I mean, he could still have one more run.
Mm-hmm.
Move to Mondays. Let's see. Okay, this is according to Impact. They're saying Impact was watched more than 3 million viewers on its opening hour towards the end of the show. The viewership declined to 2.2 million. This was the highest viewership. So I guess he's wrong, MG.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
They did 1.5 million when they went head-to-head with
Raw.
With Raw.
Okay.
Yep.
Were you, that was like way before we started doing the show.
I watched that episode.
Were you like, why are they doing this?
No, I watched it. I'm like, I'm hopeful to see what they do because they wanted to be competitive. And then you realize, like, it's Hogan, Bischoff. They opened, like, the moment was Hogan. It was the NWO.
Yeah.
They just brought him out with the fake NWO shit thing. That was the rating, apparently. I'm sorry. That was the rating, not the viewership. Many apologies.
It's tough. We're getting these numbers confused. We're getting all these names confused.
I can't remember anymore. Anyway. I mean, that was my point with this, is that, you know, right now, they're in this interesting period where they have so much momentum, and they have so much positive perspective from the community, from the internet, and from viewership.
Mm-hmm.
To me, 600,000 is a little disappointing. I understand the night.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, but I'm not going to come up with the excuses. I'm just talking about eyeballs.
Okay.
You know, the future of this show may not be Friday nights at 10. It shouldn't be Friday nights at 10.
And again, not a content issue.
Not a content issue.
At all.
And your recording is pre-recorded. You can put it on any night.
Right.
Technically. You know, you could come up with a different idea, a different way to present it, rather than a Friday night at 10, because the original idea that 2 million people are watching and you're going to have a nice amount switching over, that may not be the case anymore.
Do you think a Saturday morning would be cool?
Saturday? Probably not, because it's not morning programming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a Saturday is a good time slot either. 7 o'clock is not... I mean, why can't they do 7 to 8?
On Saturday.
No, or on Friday. Try it out on Friday.
Yeah. Go head-to-head with SmackDown.
It's too early for the West Coast. That's the big problem. But it's a West Coast delay anyway. It's not. Is it live? Was it? Yo, it was live, wasn't it? When we watched on the West
when
Coast?
We watched it, it was live because it was that special episode.
Where was CM that Punk it? Returned. Was that the thing? Okay. Yeah.
So that was completely live, and that was that was awesome. Huge argument for us to move to the West Coast.
I know.
So we could watch early wrestling.
Yeah.
You want to move on to SmackDown?
The Dixie Table Show did 1.41 for Impact.
Okay. I want to take a second here. We got a super chat from All Elite Podcast, $5 here for the obligatory "We love you guys" super chat.
Oh, love you.
Did I mention we love you guys? Good work as always, boys. Thank you very much for the weekly love. We appreciate it, guys. If you wanna get your questions in ahead of time, you can super chat us. Any amount will do.
All right. Let's go into, where do you want to go? You want to go into SmackDown? Let's go into the draft.
Just get a SmackDown?
Yeah, let's go into the draft.
Okay, great. Yeah, because, well, all right.
I mean, we'll go quick.
Okay.
You don't need to go over everything.
Do you want to do the highlights of the draft?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So, Roman Reigns,
yeah,
number one overall draft pick on SmackDown.
Okay. Makes sense, right?
Makes perfect sense. You know, my whole thing with the draft, and I'm going to say this before we get into it, because some cool moves were made and there were a couple of surprises, but it takes the wind out of my sails when it's like the guy on Raw is drafted to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like Bobby Lashley drafted to Raw. And you're like, well, he was there already.
Yeah.
You know? I do think that at the end of the day, the rosters are very interesting.
Yeah, I think they shuffled it. Yeah. Some would say it's weaker.
You think so?
SmackDown is weaker than Raw.
Really?
I people were complaining last night. I got to look at the whole thing.
I think they evened it out, to be honest. You got it. Well, I think they did even it out. I'm gonna stick with that. So Becky, number one draft pick to Raw. Big E drafted to Raw. Charlotte SmackDown, Sasha SmackDown, Drew to SmackDown. I think that's an interesting move. You know, like just the shifting of it.
Yeah.
New Day got split up again.
Again, yeah.
To SmackDown or whatever. I feel like the rules don't apply to the New Day. Right?
I like that they did the draft, but they did the draft with like a 1 month warning.
Right.
You have a month to prepare. Why couldn't they do it in August then?
Yeah.
If it didn't matter.
It's bizarre. This stuff, you know, it's funny because like they try to make it such a weighty situation, but everybody works for the same company. You know, that's like if we, you know, like how many shows do you have on GFQ Network?
Oh, now like nothing.
But I'm saying like
we had 15. All right. We had like four.
So let's say like between, let's say What the Tech and Mad Men. And then, like, the Andrews Aaron show.
Yeah.
And if you're like, Rich got drafted to the Andrews Aaron show, but then I show up on Mad Men next week, you know, that's kind of like, it's like the same thing. Balor on Raw, Morgan on Raw, Shotzi and Tegan Nox were split up, right?
Okay.
The big surprise of last, go ahead.
Every female tag team got split up,
mm-hmm.
except for the champions.
Yes.
Every women's tag team got split up.
Isn't that weird?
It just shows you what they think of the division.
They don't. We've been saying this for years. They don't give a shit about tag teams. Bob Hazel with $2 just here for the Beetlejuice treatment. We cannot say your name three times in a row, Bob. We don't want you.
Oh, you said it once. I'm not saying it again.
So you got to do it like three times in a row. The big shocker from last night is Gable Steveson.
Yes.
To Raw while he's still in college. And then they did like... They tried to make it look like the NFL draft where he's hanging out at home with his parents.
I know.
Sports.
You know what I miss?
Sports, bro.
You know what I miss?
Yeah.
The fucking Tumblr. All right.
Oh, for sure.
Let's uncomplicate this.
All exactly.
Right? Random. Bring back the freaking Tumblr. All right. Bring it back.
Uh-huh.
And then you call it a day. You just randomly pick what brand you go to.
Yeah, but listen, how much weight do you think this has, and how long do you think these guys will be where they say they're going to be?
Well, again, it's a boy who cried wolf, mm-hmm. so people really don't care because they know at one point they're going to be on each other's brand anyway.
So Finn Balor's a good example.
Balor's a great example.
Right? Because Balor has been hot potatoed, no offense, sorry, I don't mean to trigger you. Balor has been hot potatoed from... Raw to SmackDown to NXT to SmackDown to Raw. So he's got like kind of like an interesting turnaround, right? I think I'm right about that. Who's to say he came up short against Roman? Who's to say that he's not going to come up short against Big E? And then you have Balor as like a champ going forward. I feel like that might be the direction they're going in. And then you'll get a Balor versus Edge match at some point. Because Edge is now on Raw. And then I think that's a WrestleMania. Do you think that's a WrestleMania caliber match?
Edge versus Balor?
For the belt?
Depends what they do with Balor. You know, like Balor's over, but he's not Roman.
Right.
You know, nobody's Roman. I mean, first of all, this guy's magnificent, right?
Oh, he's magnificent.
Everything, his entrance has become such a spectacle.
Handsome.
Comes out slow. He's a world champion. I mean, really, they've done. Somebody asked me, they're like, who are you voting for Wrestler of the Year for Observer this year? I'm like, it's not even a question, is Roman. Not even a question.
Give me your reasons.
Top guy in the business, mm-hmm. highest rated draw in the business, putting on 4+ star matches every time. Mm-hmm. Solid promo. We haven't had a world champion presented that way.
That's true.
That's a workhorse. I mean, he is a workhorse.
That's there every week.
There every week, mm-hmm. doing his thing.
Got a faction.
Good faction. The guy is on top of the world right now. I don't think anybody could deny what a draw he is.
I agree with that. And it's not so much that he's the champ. It's, I think, the fact that this dude is the quote-unquote face. Of the WWE.
He's not, the title means, he does more for the title at this point.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean? And that's what you want your champion to be. Like, he's, we haven't seen a champion like that on WWE side for a long time.
I agree with that.
300 something days. Yes. He's the face. He's the actual face. I'm not talking about CM Punk's run, right? Because he wasn't the face of the company.
Unfortunately.
They had other plans for everybody else. Mm. He's actually the face of the company. I mean, since Cena, really, nobody's had a strong run like this as world champion. You know, that's working unanimously. So, I don't know. I thought the SmackDown side is a little weaker, but they have Brock right now, so that makes up for a lot of it. And Drew's headed there. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, that's probably going to be the next program, right, is Roman Drew.
And Sheamus. Which I find interesting because they're still really like, remember, Sheamus took that title off of
Roman years ago.
Remember that weird like upset on Raw?
Yeah.
Every time I see Sheamus,
That's what you think?
I get like, oh, they're going to do it again, aren't they? You know? Where did Riddle and RKO go? Did they stay on Raw?
Who?
Riddle and RKO. Riddle and Randy Orton.
Yes, they're both on Raw.
Okay. We also got NXT call-ups, which, honestly, I'm surprised by a few of these.
Zarian knew.
You knew about Hit Row?
I knew about Hit Row.
Okay.
Well, I said it in so many possible ways, except without confirming it. And the reason why, I didn't feel comfortable. I wasn't 100% on anything. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't come up with any other you know, sources other than the one that told me Hit Row. I knew Hit Row, and I knew Xia Li.
Okay.
But I didn't know, you know what I mean? Mm. I explained this to somebody the other day. Mm-hmm. It might have been Raj or Issa. We all went out for drinks last week.
Yeah.
By the way, Issa, you know what drink she was drinking?
Mm.
The porn star. She pounded down like 8 of these freaking martinis. Like a champ.
Where'd you guys go? Stout?
No. We were at
Smith & Wolensky's.
No, the rum bar.
The rum tugger.
Rum something. And then we went to like another place. Like I went to the rum tugger.
You went to the rum tugger?
At the rum tugger. And then I went a couple doors down to meet them. But I mean, like I was done. Like I had like 2 drinks. I'm like, I gotta go, guys. See you later.
Yeah.
I had so much going on that day.
That's usually your move.
They were partying the whole night.
Oh, yeah.
Monsters. Oh, I'm being shushed.
You're being shushed.
Monsters.
I'm fascinated because like you're when you're in a rush, your drink of choice is I'll just have a couple of Trulies. But when you're ready to hang out, you're like vodka seltzer.
And then sometimes you get me ordering a martini.
Yeah.
I'll order a dirty martini.
I think that's when you have nothing to do.
A dirty martini?
Yeah. Dirty martinis are great.
Yeah. I know my night is going to end terribly.
Mm-hmm.
The rum and tug. Was the name?
It wasn't the rim jobber.
It was not the rim jobber. It was the rum and tug.
So that's what you want. It wasn't the cream pie guy.
No.
You didn't go to cream pie guy.
No, but I did get a fantastic mud pie.
Oh yeah, from where?
Fantastic.
From
Martha's.
From Martha's.
Yeah, when I went for my cream pie, I got a mud pie instead.
She does great work. So
she does great work.
She does great work. So NXT call ups, right? So you knew about Hit Row.
Yeah.
Now, when you said you were uncomfortable, I thought you meant because you get uncomfortable when you hear rap music.
No, I absolutely
you stiff enough.
You know, I'm the king of rap music now.
Are you?
I just book rappers now for my clubs.
You did get Nas, which I thought was pretty cool.
We got Nas. We got Bia last week.
Mm-hmm.
We had Busta Bus.
Listen, man.
Yeah.
When you get T-Pain, I'm going.
He's probably coming in a couple.
Hit Row to SmackDown. I think that's a good move.
Great. Dude, they're a great act.
I love them on NXT, though. I feel like... But again, I'm not in charge. I want to see what they do.
Yeah.
I hope they don't get broken up soon because it's a four-man faction.
Yeah, you know, they normally don't let people stay together.
Right, unfortunately.
By the way, I'm really disappointed. I have a Rick and Morty mug right here, and I apologize. I feel disgusted with myself. I do enjoy the show, but I hate the fan base.
Is that full of vodka right now?
Just, yeah, pretty much. Look.
Oh, holy vodka. Shit. Yeah. All right, Austin Theory to Raw. How did you like that moment?
Terrible.
With the selfie?
Sucked.
The selfie.
I did not like that. I didn't like it at all. Why did he run out? Like him run. I know why he ran out, but I'm like, yes. He looks so. That's how you debut him. He's running out.
I didn't. So Jeff Daddy's on back to SmackDown.
Wait. Let's talk about Jeff Daddy.
Hit me.
He first of all that face paint
is great.
Okay. Like, they zoomed in on his face, right? You don't notice it when it's zoomed out, but it zoomed in. It looks like he has no teeth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The face paint is so narrow, so it looks like. Like that?
Yeah, yeah. Not to make fun of Jeff Hardy's problems, but I was giggling to myself on the couch last night going, it would be so fucking funny if this dude just looked into the camera and called out Darby Allin thinking he worked there.
The face paint's gnarly, right? Yeah. And he cuts his promo and he's like, listen, he lost. That's what he does now, right? He just loses. And he's like, there's a new, like, whatever, he's a manifestation of Jeff Hardy that's going to show up. Yeah. In a month. I still have some time. I'm here. But when I debut there, it's going to be a while. And I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever, you know?
So Austin Theory comes out. He's like, let me get a selfie with you. He beats him up. And then he takes a selfie. You know what my favorite part of that segment was? On the ramp, he goes, you can hardly hear him, but Austin Theory goes, is Instagram still down? Oh, no, it's not. And then, like,
so it is. Yeah. I got a question. What would you react if he did show up as Jeff Daddy?
As, like, our Jeff Daddy character?
Like, whatever. Like, he's just wearing, like, dad jeans and New Balances and...
So, guys, for those of you that don't know, our rebooking of Jeff Hardy is a character called Jeff Daddy, in which he's like a sugar daddy. And he just pays for everything. He takes everybody out on dates, pays for everything. What is a Jeff Daddy dress like?
Oh, there's this guy, okay, there's this TikToker that I absolutely love, and he does, like, Southern Dad.
Mm-hmm.
So his gimmick is that he's a Southern Dad.
Okay.
With a big belly, and he's wearing, like, a NASCAR shirt. He does the whole thing. I want that to be the gimmick.
Really?
Just a Southern Dad.
Just like Jeff Hardy.
Like, whatever that guy, whatever that guy's name is, and if anybody knows who I'm talking about, he actually did a thing with Jeff Hardy. That's the dude.
Did he really?
He did. Okay. He made a freaking video with Jeff Hardy. Holy moly, it's gonna happen.
Mm.
He did a video with Jeff Hardy and he called and he's like, hey, nephew JF, you know, like, sorry, I don't do a good Southern accent. My wife does.
Pretty good.
My wife in another life.
Mm. Was it Southern Belle?
It was like to the T.
Was she Scarlett O'Hara?
She was like she would be a Southern Belle. I'm like, yeah, I kind of like the voice. I'm like, do me a favor. I'm like, go outside. I'm like, I'm gonna record you. I'm like, go outside and start screaming for your daughter, Mackenzie, to come in the house. I kind of like the whole vibe.
Yeah.
She's like, Mackenzie, in the... You know, she does the whole thing.
You got to be careful. You don't want to insult our Southern audience.
I love the South.
We have a lot of dirty South
I love
people
the South.
In the chat room.
If there was another place I would live, would be the South. Doesn't matter where.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
I want to be a Florida man.
Figures.
I want to be a Florida man in the West way. Figures.
So, Austin Theory, Jeff Daddy, which I giggle every time we say it. He's going to SmackDown. Austin Theory makes his debut. This is his second debut on Raw. This is weird. Ridge Holland to SmackDown, I find very interesting because he's the prototypical body that WWE wants, right? And he's got the little cabby hat. He's got the nightstick. He's got a leather jacket. But who knows if they're going to change him when he gets up there, right? I don't think I've ever heard that guy talk either.
Who?
Ridge Holland.
I don't think. Have I heard Ridge Holland talk?
Aaliyah to SmackDown, which I think is a surprise.
Aaliyah to SmackDown was a surprise. And that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so some more, you know, looking back. A while ago, I was told, like, you know, when we do the NXT drafts, we're not looking to draft like a Nakamura.
Right.
Right? They're looking to draft because they're looking to draft somebody new to come in. that doesn't have an established personality or character to the main roster fans to build him up. You know, listen, we got Bearcat. We got Bearcat Lee.
Sure.
I mean, we got they brought people up. It I don't think there's a rhyme or reason on who does well and who doesn't when they bring NXT guys up. There's no. Who's the most successful NXT guy that they brought up?
Currently, it's Damian Priest.
Currently, right now, yes. Right now on the roster would be Damian Priest. That dude is fantastic.
He fit that mold so perfectly, and he's doing great. I honestly thought yesterday was going to be the seeds for a tag team between Jeff and Damian Priest, which I wouldn't mind seeing.
You know what we've also gone back to? Mm. A lot of ethnicity on the roster. Old school way. And I'm not saying in a bad way. First of all, Damian Priest, this guy is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm watching, I'm like, there's so much representation happening. It's you put Mustafa Ali and Mansoor in a tag team.
Oh, yeah.
20 years ago, these guys would be wearing the big fucking Aladdin pants and coming out on a magic carpet.
Not more than 20 years ago, because 20 years ago you had Muhammad Hassan.
And what do we have? But we had Tiger Ali Singh. I mean, everybody had some bizarre, crazy ethnic character.
You think they'd make these guys like Cheeky Baby Jr.?
I love Cheeky Baby.
Yeah,
but that's me. That's because all right, he's Persian. There's the connection with me. I enjoyed it. My father freaking loved the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
Nobody looked at it and said oh, this is misrepresenting us. Nobody thought that about him. But there is a lot of that.
Isn't that?
There was a ton of that. But Tiger Ali Singh, the whole thing was to embarrass him. And it's cool to see that. Mm-hmm. And it's this is a really freaking diverse roster, but nobody ever talks about it because it's done well.
Yes.
Listen, they do some really crappy stuff. We get it. No. We know, and they still do it every now and then. But for the most part, they're very conscious about insulting people.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I do think these are the two things that pop into my head.
Yeah.
Right. On one hand, at some point in time in current WWE history, you had the Mexicools coming out on John Deere mowers.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. In 2002.
But then you have Alberto Del Rio coming out as the Spanish playboy, who's an asshole who buys everybody.
Well, you also had Eddie Guerrero coming out on a lowrider. You know what I mean?
I don't find that offensive.
But again, here's the reality. Mm-hmm. It's a show. It's a television show. It's a movie.
Yeah.
You should look at it as if it's a movie. You shouldn't feel insulted, or unless it's something heinous, that they do blatantly. It's blatant racism or insulting your whatever.
Yeah.
I don't view things like that. I never view things like that. Even with Middle Eastern humor or Greek humor or whatever. You hear all of it. You see all of it. I don't watch a TV show and be like, oh, I don't like how they represented a Persian on here. He drives a white BMW.
Right.
And he's hoarding his cash. I don't like that.
Own several hookah bars?
Own several. That's my dream job.
You want to own a lot of hookah bars?
I want to own all of them.
You don't see color. You see numbers.
I see numbers. That's all I see.
The only color you see is green.
listen, but I do think the fact that you have Mustafa Ali and Mansoor, but do something.
A lot
do
of representation.
Something. Something.
It is a very ethnically diverse roster, right? You have Sasha, Bianca Belair, a lot of people of color, which is amazing.
I want to write the biggest WWE fluff piece and being that it's a beacon of unity. WWE is the beacon of unity. Sure. And then I bring up the worst examples of it. All the underlining, could be considered racist by 2021 standards.
Oh,
I want to bring up all those gimmicks.
Saba Simba.
I want to talk about I'm willing to bet that somebody thought about writing that article.
I'm sure
Somebody has come up with a concept to write that article.
I'm sure it's on some dopey no-name website that you could probably Google right now. Xia Li also to SmackDown.
I'm very curious what they do with her.
Yeah, because her whole NXT thing was strong promo. Strong vignettes. So the other interesting thing about the draft and where this is going is they keep mentioning, by the way, this is not in effect until after Crown Jewel, because they really, are we going to do a Crown Jewel watch along?
It's during it. What day is it on?
It's a Friday.
It's a Friday.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. It's a Thursday. So
Thursdays are my busy days.
Technically, we could do the show and then watch it.
Why don't you do a watch along?
Just you're going to leave the lights on for me?
Yeah, all right, why not?
Cool.
Why not?
That'd be great. Yeah, we could do that.
Come sit in my seat.
Yeah. Ooh, the big chair.
You sit in the big chair. Look at this. Hold on. You the can do chair. One of these.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I lost control.
Do you need a hand? Do you need to come back?
All right.
So.
I got no time frame for today, by the way.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna go. I got to go pick up my wife's car at some point, but, yeah. You know, I'm good. So we got the crown jewel coming up, right?
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Please, yeah.
Can I tell you, I discovered the greatest CBD ever. This is not a live read. I actually need to talk to Van Damme because I want to do his CBD company justice.
Yeah.
I'm going to order a couple things from there and I want to see how it does. Rich, I'm going to tell you, we're talking CBD, right? CBD.
Mm.
I took a Delta 8 CBD.
They're great. They're so good.
Dude, it rocked me.
What
but
dosage?
In a good way. A 50 milligram.
Did you take the whole?
I took the whole.
Ooh.
I also took, the other day, I took 100 milligram CBD.
What?
It was.
They were floored.
You know what? I could still function, but I felt it.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt it.
Those Delta 8s rock, dude.
And it lasted a whole day.
Those Delta 8s.
Fantastic stuff.
Friggin' rock.
So I want to try Van Damme's. I got to give him a call.
Yeah, we got to, we also, I wish we had the link somewhere, because we have
that's
a promo code
that's
on his website.
That's why I'm going to do it justice, once I try it out.
Okay.
It's not, and by the way, there's no money exchange here, I want to have fun on the air.
No, this is,
October 22nd, why is everybody writing October 22nd?
Because that's when Crown Jewel is.
12 p.m. Thursday.
So there's a lot of murder talk in the air leading up to Crown Jewel.
Oh my God, so much murder talk.
Do you think Goldberg is going to murder Bobby Lashley in Saudi Arabia?
I mean, he's alluding to it.
Verbatim, I would like to see that promo. I'm going to murder you in Saudi Arabia.
You know what? WWE's so self-aware.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are purposely allowing that sentence to go out.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. they didn't think that, you know, oh, well, it's implied. It's Saudi Arabia. There's all these negative things about what's going on there. I mean, we all know.
Right.
It's not the most free country in the world.
Right.
Especially for, you know, anybody that's an investigative journalist or anything. But
let's try not to do that, because the last time you mentioned
I know, people
stuff
got very
like
upset.
That,
people
we,
got very
well,
upset.
Well, we were getting like all these weird DMs.
That's what I'm not going into. But, you know, it's they're allowing Bill to be a little bit edgy, and I think they do that with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you offended by this match? Because I really...
What, Roman Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley?
Yeah.
Why would I be offended by the match? I hope Bobby Lashley, like...
Well, Lashley's going to lose this one.
I want Lashley to win.
I would love him to win, too.
I'm just offended by Goldberg. Like, period. You know? I find him a very offensive, like, person. He's like he's the guy at the bar that I would avoid at all costs. You know? Because he's the guy, correct me if I'm wrong, he's the guy, if you walk past him, he'll go, hey, Andrew, what's going on? And he'll grab you by the shirt.
Who's this?
Goldberg.
Goldberg, yeah.
This is the guy you want to avoid at all costs. He'll grab you by the arm and be like, he'll just start telling you about his life like you care.
Now, he reminds me of like my wife's uncles.
Oh,
they're
yeah?
all, yeah, they're all, they're like, all the Long Island, all the Long Island uncles are Goldberg.
They all drive like elevated F-150s?
They all, well, kind of, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. They drive Cadillac Escalades and they have like muscle cars.
Yeah.
They all, I mean, it's literally the whole family.
I gotta take the challenge into the shop.
You believe it? Some knucklehead backed into my 76?
You believe it?
I got a 442 in it.
Guy.
That's all I hear.
So, Crown Jewel, we're getting Roman versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. Do you think Roman loses in Saudi Arabia?
No.
Okay.
No. So, that was... There was some story came out that there was a special clause for Saudi Arabia for Goldberg and everything. I had notes on that to confirm it. I totally effed up and I lost my notes yesterday because I actually I went back to some of the stuff I was going to follow up on. I cannot find it. It's probably on my work computer. Just listen. It's a big show. They're giving away big matches in Saudi Arabia. It's a money deal for them. Will there be any long-term changes to their storytelling? Most of the time, no, but maybe we'll see some changes happen this time around. Because I know the big deal for them has been they're very much aware that the Saudi show seems like a nothing show. It just seems like a very big house show with no long-term repercussions.
Yes.
But they want to change that and make this a show you want to watch. 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday, maybe not the most peak viewership, but they don't give a shit about peak viewership. They don't care about any of that because they make the same amount of money no matter how many people watch live or not on Peacock. Mm. So, listen, I would not be surprised if they continue on with these stories and stuff, but I don't know, man. I watch it.
Yeah,
it's a spectacle more than anything else, and that's it.
You watch it, and the implication with the way you said it was, I watch it, but I don't necessarily enjoy it.
You know what the last one that I remember was?
Mm-hmm.
And this speaks volumes. I want to say 2018.
The first one.
No, it wasn't the first one.
Okay.
The one where it was during Halloween. Ooh. It was like Halloween. It was Halloween, I think, because I took my kids trick or treating, and Flair and Hogan had that like tag match.
Yeah,
you know, you do know that at one point somebody thought, can Hogan go?
Oh yeah,
100%. You know for a fact that conversation came up. It's like a 5-on-5. You just have Hogan and Flair there. Flair doesn't even have to do anything. Hogan just comes in and does bah 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 and done.
And then with a leg drop.
Oh, he'll die. He'll shatter. He can't do that.
So they do. I do have a fond memory of watching the first one because I remember, this is going to sound very stupid. I do remember getting a really gigantic sandwich and while texting with you about it and being like, and then it was like, I had a giant sandwich. I took the day off and I watched it. I got a couple of beers. God. And I remember me and you were texting each other about how nobody's looking at the camera.
Oh my God.
That was the first one. How the guys in the front were on their phones with their backs turned to the camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The entire time.
And the couches, the big giant couches.
Big couches, yeah.
They were moving it. Did you see them? They were moving the couches in and out.
And for the record, that was a good sandwich.
That was a fantastic sandwich. So, I'm glad.
Also, but the thing that they do at the Saudi shows, they have that one big moment, right?
2019. Okay. It was Halloween 2019, the one I was talking.
Didn't Brock like take a bite of the cage one year or something, or destroy the cage or something? He just like, he pulled it down or whatever.
The cage made out of chocolate. Just chocolate bars. You just pull it and you just open it up.
I'd love it if they made a chocolate cage. That's the new recruit for Dynamite. Yeah.
So,
by the
way. I don't know where we were.
We're going down the card. So you have Big E versus Drew in Saudi Arabia. I do think they're going to have a title switch at some point, but it's not going to be like super major.
I think I'm just really excited to see you today.
Yeah.
It's been a couple days. I'm glad that you're here. There we go.
I'm glad I can bring a little rainbow into
I don't think there is another podcast out there, especially in professional wrestling, where you have two dudes that genuinely love each other as much as we do doing the show.
That is true. You have WWE SmackDown Women's Championship, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Sasha Banks. This is very interesting because I feel like this is like a treat.
Okay.
For the Saudis.
It's a great match,
right?
First of all. It's a mega match. It's a pay-per-view match anywhere else.
Is this the second ladies match in Saudi Arabia? Because I think the first one was
Natalia
and Alexa.
Well, it was the one that they were in like their cat suits, right?
Well, they have to do that.
And then t-shirts.
They're going to have to do that with this too.
Silly. It's so stupid.
Hey, listen.
No, it's so stupid. I'll say how stupid that is.
Don't go there. WWE Raw Tag Team Championship match, RK-Bro versus AJ and Omos. I think that's going to be fun. Randy's going to get the pop of the night.
Rain is going to get a pop of the night. Okay.
You have the King of the Ring finals, the Queen's Crown finals, and a no holds barred match between Bobby Lashley and Goldberg. I think the crowd's going to be on Bobby Lashley's side.
No, definitely Goldberg. They love Goldberg. Yeah, they love him.
Interesting. Okay.
They love him. Today's the 24th anniversary of the first Hell in a Cell.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah. Fantastic match. I recommend everybody go see it.
The Michaels Undertaker.
The Michaels Undertaker match.
Okay, that's
great match.
Such a great match. Yeah.
And then Kane showed up.
Mm-hmm. So I find this stuff very fascinating as far as like the Saudi show goes. It's like, you know, talk about East West Coast style. I don't mind 1 p.m. on a Thursday.
give me 10 o'clock in the morning.
10 o'clock in the morning. Oh my God.
I mean, I genuinely enjoy watching the shows early. I can't do the late night stuff.
It was Natty versus Lacey was the first match. Was the first Natty ladies match Lacey. In okay. Saudi Arabia. Okay. I do think you're going to have like weird shit and have Hogan show up. Hogan's going to dress the crowd. You're going to have one of the...
Well, we don't know. That's what you think. You're thinking.
Maybe have one of the Daivaris show up and do that whole...
No, they won't ever do that again.
Really?
Ooh, no way. Because that was bad.
That was like, that was Heat City, bro.
I don't think people understand Middle Eastern politics.
Mm.
Daivari, he's Iranian, he's Persian, and he came out and he cut like a promo on Saudi Arabia. Jeez. And they got very upset over it.
And then Mansoor came out and cleaned house.
And then Mansoor came out and cleaned
Mansoor's
house.
Mansoor's going to win the King of the Ring, by the way. You know that, right?
Mansoor's winning everything.
Mansoor's winning the Queen's Crown also.
The Queen's Crown also, yeah. The Queen's Crown, that's our title.
Uh-huh.
The Queen's Crown, look.
Oh, look at that. Guys from Queens, nice nipple.
Yeah. They're covered.
Nipples from Queens. I think one of them is bleeding.
Oh my god.
you got to take care of those bleeding nipples, man.
Dude, it's chafing. It's like you didn't watch Office. I get it.
No, I'm not an Office fan. Breaking news, not an Office fan. Sorry,
Andy
guys.
From The Office has very sensitive nips, and he has to tape them. Runner's nip? That's a thing, runner's nip.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. I used to get that until my body adapted to it. Now my nipples just squirt whiskey.
Let's see. What else we got?
We got the G1.
Yeah, let's go into it.
So people have not
Are
been
you watching any of it.
No,
nobody is. I don't understand why.
This has been a good G1. I've seen the highlights, and like apparently, like from the chatter online, it's the G. Like we should be paying attention to this G1, especially for the Zack Sabre matches, because apparently this dude's putting on a clinic every single time.
Yeah.
Do you still get weird about the guy's body? Or what?
I think he's fantastic. I just think that I would like him to be a little bit more of a muscle boy.
Okay.
That's my personal preference. You don't have to follow it.
He'd be a really good TNT title challenge guy.
Zack Sabre?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I think so. Zack Sabre's in the lead in A block with 8 points. Kenta, 8 points. Great Okan, 8 points. I find that very fascinating. Ibushi, 8 points. Takagi, 6 points. Toriano, your favorite, 6 points. Ishii, 6. And then B block leader is Jeff Cobb, which I think is interesting. Jeff Cobb would be, I'd like to see him on Dynamite again. Okada, 10 points. Evil, 8 points. Tanahashi, 6 points. I think, that final might come down to Okada and Zack Sabre, or Okada and Kenta. I wouldn't mind that.
Okada and Zack Sabre, or Okada and Kenta. I think if Kenta wins a G1, I think it would be really positive for him. I think he would benefit from that.
Absolutely.
Or Sabre, Sabre too, but I think, Kenta's story is, he's so good. Actually, by the way, Kenta's having phenomenal matches too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who do you think on B block?
That final, I think, is going to be.
Well, Jeff Cobb is not lost. Okada has not lost.
I think that final looks like it's going to be Cobb versus Okada, but I wouldn't put it past Okada versus Evil.
Okada versus. Evil does nothing for me. I'm honestly, he never did anything. I know that they tried to give him that title run.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think the story was ever told the way it should have been.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
But that may have tarnished Evil a little bit more, because you didn't really, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they built it a little bit, but it was just bad timing for, I guess, all of it. Feel bad for him. I don't know. I would say you want to do something a little different this year. Rather than Okada, what if he did Kenta and Okada?
Kenta Okada for the finals would be phenomenal. 45-minute match. They'd put on a clinic. I do think New Japan is in an unfortunate state of flux, and it's not, it's just, I think, perception, if anything, because people forget about it. People are so absorbed with like Dynamite and Raw and all the stuff that's going on. But these guys are constantly putting on bangers of matches, like these guys are rocking it, and they always have been.
By the way, the audio is so much better in my headset now that that mic is not close to me.
Okay.
I gotta watch some more. I'm so behind. I'm so freaking behind, and then I feel guilty when I go down like a Mid-South rabbit hole,
because you want to watch,
because I freaking love Mid-South.
Yeah,
I freaking love it. And I watch the old shit. And I feel guilty. I'm like, I just wasted 2 hours while this was on. I could have been watching something current, but I'm really into this Mid-South stuff right now.
I agree with that. Sometimes like wrestling content, I always am like, I have to watch this is how I watch New Japan.
Yeah.
If I wake up early enough on Saturday morning,
you put it on,
I get a good workout in, I will plop down on the couch and watch New Japan for like 3 hours. I'm sorry. My call for the finals. You ready?
Yeah.
A block final, Kota Ibushi versus either Kenta or Zack Sabre Jr. Kota takes it. B block, I think there's going to be a shocker. Jeff Cobb beats Okada, and you get...
On B-Block,
and you get your final as Kota Ibushi versus Jeff Cobb. And Kota wins. And Kota climbs the mountain again.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think for Kota... I don't know. You know, he's another one.
Okay.
Right? Isn't Ibushi's push really strange? Like, how is this guy not the world champion right now? How is this guy not in the main title picture?
Okay. Well,
there's something there. There has to be something there. This guy is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they don't like.
I think his story is constantly climbing the mountain, and I feel like if he wins it this year, do you think we'll get the first triple threat IWGP match?
I don't know. You know, he's...
Because it's Takagi and Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay's doing the real world championship.
By the way, he's fantastic with that. I love the Will Ospreay stuff. Right. I got to just say, he's very good as that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Shingo... I don't know, man.
Imagine Ibushi, Shingo, Ospreay in a match.
It'd be killer.
Winner take all.
It'd be killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really would be. Any one of
these guys. Even if it's Jeff Cobb, Shingo, and Ospreay.
Because right now, I mean, I'm very interested to see what they do with this. I'd be very interested. Very, very interested.
You want to do questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, guys, let's do questions. But before that, remember, we're on Patreon. So if you want to come and hang out, we're restructuring the Patreon tiers. We are being more hands-on. Patreon.com/MatMenPodcast. You can subscribe for as little as $1. And we have some new stuff implemented, and we hope you check it out. And we welcome all you new patrons. We also have our YouTube membership, and the tiers start as little as $2.
My tiers start around noon daily.
Yeah. And we also have the YouTube membership.
Too, yeah, so man.
And we're thinking about some other stuff.
I got a big story from my own personal life.
Yes.
That will affect each and every one of you, might I say that.
In the audience. Okay.
That I am not ready to announce, but it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Do you feel good about it?
I do. I feel great about it.
Yeah.
I'm a little rusty.
Interesting.
With that kind of presentation.
Yeah. It's not as loose as this one.
Not as loose as this one. I think, you guys, listen, feel free to fill in the blanks here. But
if you want to see more Andrew's Aaron, Andrew's Aaron.
You're going to. An announcement is coming, but you will see me, you will see and hear me in many, many places.
Yeah.
Starting, I think, in 4 weeks.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. You're going to have to do some push-ups.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to
You're
do
it.
Hold
get,
on. Ready?
Getting ring shape.
Oh, I can't. I don't want to get demonetized.
You don't want to show the nipples?
There we go.
Andrew, three nipples, this guy. The third one, middle of the chest.
Middle, right here. I had a friend that had a third nipple. He just got it removed.
Really? Mm-hmm. Was it in the middle of his chest?
It was like somewhere in the middle. It was the middle of his forehead. I'm pregnant again. That's the news. No, I think this is going to be cool. Very different presentation than what I'm doing here or on We're Live Pal.
Mm-hmm.
A little hint some more, but this will be a nice way to either end your week or begin your week, depending on how your calendar runs.
I like the way you put that. And if you guys don't know what this guy's talking about by now, then fooey on you.
Yeah.
Fooey, I say.
Fooey. All right.
Fooey, I say.
Large wants to know, did you guys check out the Sopranos movie?
Yes. Loved it.
You want to talk about it really quickly before the questions, the Q&As?
Do you want to put a three-minute timer on this?
Three-minute timer on this. It's 11:40. Let's go 3 minutes.
Go. All right. Many Saints of Newark. I loved it. It was fantastic. It hit every single Sopranos note because I don't know if you guys know this. Andrew and I, huge fans of the Sopranos. It hit all those notes. Pretty much two hours. I think the cast was perfect. Everybody did such a great job. How awesome was Vera Farmiga as shitty Livia Soprano?
Dude, she was so good. And, you know, she kind of looked like Carmella.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting how they made her look like Carmella?
Young Carmella was, everybody was cast so perfectly. You had a lot of those like tongue-in-cheek Sopranos jokes. As a fan, I was worried that it was going to be a little too serious, but it wasn't.
Hey, I'm going to go into this right after. But okay. I got to tell you, personally, I enjoyed everything about it.
Yep.
If you were thinking this was a Tony Soprano
origin story,
it kind of was, but that wasn't the prime focus. And I think a lot of it, I would blame HBO for. The movie was fine. Yeah, there was nothing wrong. I mean, listen, you could always find something wrong with a movie.
Yes.
I do think some of the stuff was rushed.
Yeah.
I do think they could have done a better job at establishing some characters.
Okay.
A little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's a two-hour movie.
Episode. It was a two-hour flashback, basically.
I think there's also two ways to look at this. If you went to the movies to watch this, I understand why you're disappointed.
I agree with that.
Because you went to go see Tony Soprano, and you got Dickie Moltisanti.
Which was also great. Moltisanti, many saints.
Many saints. Exactly in the freaking name.
Yeah. The narration.
Christopher. I wanted, when they were doing the graveyard scene in the beginning, and I'm not giving a spoiler here. And there's like a scene where the movie begins, right? I think we all know Christopher's the narrator.
So good.
And it swoops in and you hear conversations from beyond the grave.
How everybody died.
And the woman's like, with my first one, it was easy. The second one, they cut me open like a cantaloupe and gave me anesthesia. She died.
Yeah.
In 1930, giving birth, whoever this woman was. And exactly. Then Christopher, and then it's like Christopher talking about how he's like, when I got here, I told him Moltisanti's a very religious name.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he says it. So you start thinking, Moltisanti, multiple saints, multi-saints, the many saints.
Yeah.
I think they did great with him. Tony's father was...
John Boy
Soprano was an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
And you never thought that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You never thought that he was an idiot. We're going over 3 minutes. We'll do one more minute.
Yeah.
John Boy was an idiot. And this kind of goes
just a
back.
Thug. He was just a thug. Yeah.
But he was... He had charisma and personality.
Yes.
And there was I think in the original Sopranos, he said, I think Tony said it, that his father was this tiger.
Yeah.
And then he would come home and he was a tiny little mouse.
Yeah.
With his wife. Liv ran the show. You could also see the beginnings of her mental health issues.
Yes.
There is one scene in that movie I want to ask you about.
Sure.
I don't want to ruin it.
Okay.
I'll ask you off the air and I'll ask, you know, I don't want to ruin the movie. I want to say, just have an open mind when you go see it. It's not about Tony Soprano. Tony's in it.
And a bang-up job done by Gandolfini's son. The mannerisms, the body language.
Michael Gandolfini?
Yeah, the facial expressions.
He was, even the way he freaking ate that burger, I mean, he was so good. And the questions he asks, and you're thinking it's so childish, right? His questions, the way he says it. But it's exactly how Tony would say it as a child.
Exactly.
And it was great. I very much liked it. I'm hoping to see what they do moving forward. You know, and we'll see.
The Sopranos is one of the greatest comedies ever on television. Everybody's an irredeemable. The thing that I love about it, they really show you everybody's such an irredeemable piece of shit, but the only two characters who have actual internal conflict, Tony and Dickie Moltisanti.
Yes.
And they want it. I think that's the transitionary thing where they both want to, quote unquote, do the right thing, but they don't realize that they're just bad. They're just rotten. You know, the dude who played Junior, phenomenal.
He was the best.
He was great.
What a piece of shit.
And
when he fell.
Oh, my God.
Anything not to get laid.
Yeah, exactly.
Great line.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Quarter hours are up, by the way. And we'll go into.
Yes.
We'll go into our Q&A, but quarter hours are out. Brandon Thurston on Twitter. Big shout out to him. This guy does phenomenal analytics of these numbers. He also has a Patreon. I highly recommend, if you're into numbers like me.
Yeah.
Go to his OnlyFans, because that's all he posts on there. It's just analytics. No, his Patreon. You could go there. But very interesting to look at this. So you would imagine right following, and this... Again, very interesting stuff, right? You would imagine that right after SmackDown, with 2 million people watching, that first Bryan Danielson, Nick Jackson match would do great, right?
Right.
633, P2 plus total viewership.
Okay.
334 for 18 to 49.
Okay.
Drops for the Jurassic Express. 7 minutes of Danielson Jackson post-match, whatever, drops there. The highest quarter... was the main event. Hair versus hair. Orange Cassidy versus Jack Evans.
Wow.
I don't think these are the numbers that they had thought about on how this would play. you know, I had assumed that they had about 700,000 people for that.
Interesting.
Yeah. But very interesting to look at. This says a lot about the way the show is presented and the way that the show is going. I don't think this is necessarily a negative, but it's also something to look at to maybe reshuffle the deck. Maybe you don't need to lead with a Bryan Danielson match when your main event does a better number. Or did that match draw the eyeballs for you to stick around? But it dropped. I mean, they lost about 30,000 people throughout the show, and then they gained another 20,000 at the end. So they went over. They had a higher number of people watching the main event of Orange Cassidy and Jack Evans versus Bryan Danielson and Nick Jackson. People's patterns.
Okay. Interesting.
It could be that people were just getting home and they turned it on to see the end.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of these things play a factor. From 10 to 11, at 10 o'clock, I may not be home, but closer to 11, most likely I am.
Right. And I put the TV on.
Very, I love these things. I know that the audience is so fucking bored with me talking numbers. Maybe some of you guys love
I think a lot of these dudes get off on it.
You know why I do? Because I'm on the marketing and sales side of things, right? I'm... Somebody asked me what I do, and then I was at a meeting. He's like, "Oh, Andrew's like a mercenary. You just hire him for anything, like anything with your business, with the marketing, with sales, with numbers. Like he could fill it in." If I'm looking at this as a sales side of things,
yeah,
I'd be like, "Wow, that's really weird," because I want to sell the ad at the top of the hour. You know, the end, like 11 o'clock, the rate drops the later a show. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. Because there's not too many eyeballs. So I very interesting to see this. Very interested to see this, that the Jade Cargill match did better than the post-match with Jurassic Express, Will Hobbs, and Hook backstage promo. I mean, it's a match, so people watch it. So very interesting stuff. Very interesting. All right.
Okay.
Let's go. Q&A, guys.
All right, guys. We're going to do this Q&A, questions and answers. This is Connor Bernard. Any idea what WWE is going to do with the women's tag team titles? Now that Tamina and Natalya and Knox and Shotzi split, Ripley and ASH are the only women's tag team. Do you think that WWE would ever replace the women's tag team titles with a mid-card title for the women?
No.
Never.
The tag titles are staying, and they're just going to create new tag teams because that's what they do with the women's division. Give me a solid female tag team. That's a real tag team. Do you have one?
No.
Nobody has one.
No. I think Natty and Tamina came close-ish. If they did, honestly, if they did, for some reason, if they did Tamina and Nia, I would love that as a natural tag team. When they did Divas of Doom, Beth Phoenix and Natalya, that was a great natural tag team. That was fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Even Shotzi and Ember Moon. That was awesome.
And Ember. I'm trying to think, how many real tag teams have they had? Shotzi and Ember Moon was a good tag team. That was a real tag team. But again, they just put two people together. That was such a bad breakup. Huh?
Yeah.
So stupid. So stupid.
All right.
Go ahead.
Let's go into the next one. Going Broadway Podcast. Big shout out to Going Broadway Podcast. Go check them out. Any info on Bobby Fish's AEW appearance? Is it a one-off? If he has a contract, etc. The promo pic shows him with a shirt that looked like it had an AEW logo. That's an NXT logo.
that they just photoshopped over. Listen, I think if you're any roster with young up-and-coming talent, having Bobby Fish on your roster to help in any way is a major, major plus. Listen, Adam Cole is there, so I cannot see him not wanting to stay.
Right.
Also, you know, he's in his 40s. Where do you want him to go? Where would he want to go?
Yeah.
You know, he had a good run in NXT. He did tremendous work down there. But the guy is phenomenal. He's great. You and I have always been a big Bobby Fish
absolutely,
fan.
Absolutely.
Gnarly, big fish heads. We're big fish heads. We also love fish. We go to fish concerts all the time, Rich and I. And and dead concerts.
Just like vibing, dude.
Yeah, we're deadheads.
This is vibing.
You know how many deadheads I know when they do that thing at Citi Field with fish and like and my brain just stopped.
What do you think?
I think I need to go to a hospital.
Do you have to go now?
I need to go. They're calling me.
Do you want me to carry you?
No. Just do me a favor. Just turn off all the lights and just scream, "He's ready," and then I just get propelled back to my home planet.
What if I just turn off all the lights and just sit here
The Grateful Dead kills it at Citi Field.
Did they really?
Oh my God. I know so many people, they just camp out for like 3 days and just smoke weed.
For the record, I am not a deadhead or a fish head. I don't get it.
I don't either. I there's one song by the Grateful Dead that I like. That's it.
Oh yeah?
How Do We Get By? How Do We Get By? And the whole thing is played by skeletons in the music video.
This is how much I don't care for them. I confuse the Grateful Dead and fish with Jimmy Buffett, and I think everybody does Margaritaville.
Everybody just sings Margaritaville.
$4.99 from NYC Demon Diva, our friend. Andrew versus Brock Lesnar flannel shirt on a pole match.
Here we go.
Book it. Boom, 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 boom. Your nipple is like bleeding really bad.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
All right. Next question. Carissa Lopez, friend of the show, Carissa Lopez, and also Andrew Hader.
Andrew Hader.
Carissa Lopez, who do you think is the Joker for tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. The Joker for tomorrow? Wait a minute. What day is it today? Tuesday. Oh, Wednesday. Wednesday night joke. I'm like, wait a minute. What day are we? I don't know. I don't know who the Joker is. I haven't even thought about it.
Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero's a Joker.
Cesaro Romero.
Cesaro Romero. Can you imagine him doing like an old-timey Joker gimmick?
Love it.
As Cesaro Romero?
Again, Wyndham Rotunda.
I don't
know. And he comes out dressed as the Joker.
Oh.
The Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
Hate that. Actually, I like the Joaquin Phoenix Joker. I hate the Heath Ledger Joker now.
Really?
Only because of all the cosplay.
I could see that.
It really, yeah. I cringe when I see Heath Ledger Joker, like Halloween or anything at this point.
He's the most...
He connected to a very disenfranchised group of people.
He's the most meme Joker, I think. Yeah, absolutely. Shins in the chat room, Down With Disease is a good fish song. Adam Page might be the Joker.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good one.
What if it's Joker's Thing?
Ah, that'd be a good one too.
But that was also Heath Ledger Joker.
That is also Heath Ledger.
The most ape Joker. Fifth generation Carney, Joseph With It, asks, are any of the Mat Men going to be in Minneapolis for full gear?
No.
You want to drive?
I do not want to go to Minneapolis. I can't go away anywhere till the end of the year. So
yeah. You're stuck.
I'm stuck. I got so much work.
I'd love to go. So that's a 2% chance for me. 2%.
I'm already hearing it from some of my clients. Oh, Andrew's new career.
Going to wrestling shows.
Yeah.
They think he's got an Only. I think he's jacking off on OnlyFans or something. You should, next time somebody said that to you, that's what you should say. You should just be like, yeah, I'm jacking off on OnlyFans. What do you want?
Yeah, what do you want?
A boutonniere?
Yeah, what do you want? What do you want, a boutonniere?
Vibor.
Yeah.
On Twitter asks, with too many main event level stars being called up to Raw this year, wouldn't WWE be struggling in giving them all the same spotlight?
So they need, here's the problem, right? They need stars on those main shows. And, I think Raw's been better. Raw's been a much better show the last couple of weeks. And that has to do with the fact that they're giving you matches that you kind of want to see. I'm into these title matches that Big E's having. You know, I've been into all of this. So I think they need, and people are saying that they're hot-shotting. No, they're not hot-shotting. They're being competitive. And they should be.
Yes.
This absolutely. Is a positive here. Don't call it hot shotting. Call it, oh crap, they're realizing that they need to do something a little different and they're providing you with that. Don't complain when you get it. Seeing a world title match on Raw was not a common thing. It happens every couple of years.
I agree with that.
Do you remember when they used to be like, this is the first time in 7 years the WWE title has been defended, you know, has changed hands or whatever. These are things that they need to do because they are so in a predictive viewership mode where you know everything that's going to happen when you watch it. I could tell you top to bottom without even seeing the script. I could tell you how the ebbs and flows go, and they're trying to change that a little bit, which is a positive.
Yes. Did you see, apparently this is breaking news that's destroying our chat room right now. It's destroying the lives, hopes, and dreams of everybody. Uh-oh. Pillman Jr. cut his hair.
Pillman Jr. cut his hair.
Are you upset about... You're the hair guy. Andrew's also...
Can I see it? Somebody send me a link.
Andrew is... I don't know if you guys know this. A huge hair guy.
Yeah, but like for work. I'm financially tied to the hair industry.
You love... Yeah. But you love hair.
I sit on the board of the Global Hair Loss Alliance.
But you're a big hair... Like, you're really into hair. Like,
I'm very much into people saving their hair.
Are you upset with Pillman cutting that mullet off?
I haven't seen what it looks like.
That mullet.
I think that mullet needed to go...
Okay.
As a storyline.
Interesting. Okay.
I think it should have gone. I think it should have been the beginning. Like, somebody tweeted me this and I thought it was brilliant. Like, mm-hmm. I've always said, I think MJF needs to beat the crap out of Pillman to the point that he becomes a loose cannon. Because I actually want to see that.
You want him to get gnarly?
I don't know where the Pillman hair is. Let me see.
It's on TikTok.
It's on TikTok?
Jonathan just sent a link to the private chat.
Okay.
Going Broadway podcasts. Are you guys coming to St. Louis for the Royal Rumble? I'll buy you both a beverage.
You know what? I would love to be there for St. Louis.
Yeah.
I would love to be there for St. Louis. I won't be traveling.
If you pay for my flight and buy me a bottle of bourbon and pick me up at the airport, I will be.
JD, absolutely right. You know, we were critical about SmackDown. JD, NY206, the JD from New York. Mm. Friend of mine. I've had a couple beers with him. I think a lot of people get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, you and JD are friends? I'm like, yeah, man. Why not? He goes, oh, I didn't think you guys were friends. I'm like, why? We're both from New York. We like to drink. We like to hang out and talk shit. That's what we do. JD has a good point. I mean, right now, you look at SmackDown, mm-hmm. it's a little weaker without baby faces. So, listen, this reshuffling, I'm hoping that it works out. But SmackDown has been the superior show, unless somebody's returning to SmackDown that we don't know.
Interesting, interesting, interesting.
You know, we'll see.
I as Akhtar. Andrade mentioned that he had friends to take on the Lucha Brothers for the AAA belts. Who are these friends? Do you think he's doing a little reunion?
Who would it be? Roosh?
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. Yeah, it's gonna be.
I know those guys. Those guys want to be together.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if that'll happen, but I know Andrade really wants to work with these guys again.
Oh yeah, I think that's a good possibility. Carissa Lopez asks, "Me versus Andrew, meaning her, mm-hmm. Carissa versus Andrew, who wins?"
Oh, Carissa, she's from the Rockaways. She'll stab me.
I think she owns a flamethrower.
She does own a flamethrower. They all do, actually.
It's like the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
you go below, like, Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
everybody has a flamethrower in their house.
Jamaica Queens. All right, let's see. Should Jake Gyllenhaal play Randy Orton in a movie?
Should Jake Gyllenhaal play Randy Orton in a movie? I guess so. Why not?
I don't agree with that at all. I mean,
who should play me in the movie, Ayaz?
Oh.
Who would play me?
Oh, like a very withered Jason Momoa. a dying Jason Momoa. I'm sorry, Andrew, but he's like two times your size.
Oh, my
like,
God. I want... If. Weather. He's just dry. He got taken out of the ocean.
He's dry.
No, he just got taken out of the ocean.
Oh, who would play Andrew? That's a good question. I always like doing that. Like, who would play Andrew in the Andrew Zarian biopic?
Like a real one. Don't give me one that's like ultra handsome. Don't give me like, oh, it has to be a Brad. Give me like a real one.
Rami Malek. He did a great job with Freddie Mercury, and I feel like if he just did the full beard and the hair back, you know, that's a good one.
Dude, it's just a piece.
Oh, shit.
I'm telling you, one day I'm going to take this off, and people are going to be shocked.
I got a question for you about the Sopranos thing.
Yeah.
Were you aware that Dante, that Silvio had a piece the whole time? Or was that was a revelation, right?
Okay, that was a revelation, but everybody assumed there was, okay, I believe there was a, like on a bonus DVD, right? There was a moment where the guys are kind of talking about his hair.
Uh-huh.
But that was wild how the freaking thing flapped back.
Yeah.
You just gave away the ending.
Well, that's
how the show ends. That's the big revelation.
All right, so we got a couple of serious questions here. Nikolai Kreese, with Tama Tonga calling out BC leadership, could we possibly see Jay White look to the Elite for help to lead us to a BC versus Elite program? I think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, I think that is wishful thinking. I think the whole Bullet Club stuff is kind of taking a back seat.
In the last couple of years, at least. But I think it's no fault of their own. Gerard Butler for Andrew.
Yeah,
that's Gerard Butler. He's also like way bigger than you, dude.
I'm 5'9". You got to give me someone my size.
I think he's like 6'3", bro. 6'7".
Butler.
Oh, Adrian Brody would be a good Andrew.
Adrian Brody could be a good Andrew.
He is a Queens boy as well.
Adrian Brody is a Queens boy.
Ooh, right? Riz Ahmed would be a great Andrew.
Adrian Brody's 48 now.
That's a good one.
He's from with him. Who is it?
Riz Ahmed.
RZA Ahmed.
RZA Ahmed would be a great.
That's fine.
Great.
Oh yeah, this guy could play me. Yeah, I want him. I'll take him. But he's English. Can he do? Can he do a really terrible Queens, New York accent?
I think so. I'm gonna hold on 1 second.
Somebody told me this is the best, and anybody from New York would get this. JD's still here. He'll get appreciate this. We were talking about just like accents, right? And this person that works for me is like from the Midwest.
Yeah.
She just got to New York. And we were just talking about accents and something. And I said something. I'm like, oh, yeah, my Queens accent.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me. She's like, she's like, you like, I always thought your accent's Italian. Did I tell you this?
Yes.
Like your accent's Italian. I'm like, Italian. I'm like, she's like, yeah, you talk like you're Italian. I'm like, oh, my God, you mean like you talk. You're a New Yorker.
Yeah.
But she thinks it's Italian. Which I thought was hysterical.
That's the one where you were like, you sound like this guy, and she pointed to
I'm like, oh,
the guy next to you, and it was Super Mario.
It was Super Mario. Yeah, that's what it was.
This is very good. Ariane Moyed, please play Stewie on Succession. That's a good Andrew.
Okay.
Dye Zac Efron's hair and grow a nice beard. That's a good Andrew. Scarlett Johansson, that's a good Andrew.
Oh, I want that.
I love you. Henry Cavill, Rich.
Nice.
I would race swap myself for a biopic. Raul Coley.
That's who you want?
I want Rahul Kohli
okay, I'm
to,
fine with
to,
that.
Play,
I think,
to play me.
Yeah, I like that.
I think we're about like the same height. And he's very,
that's the only thing
he's
in common.
Very charming. And he does that. Like, we have the same shape head, kind of. Let's see.
All right, what else?
Going Broadway podcast. Hey, one of our new Patreons. I'm out, guys. Headed to a meeting. Small plug. They have Kylie Rae as a guest on October 14th.
Yeah, great. Go check it out. Going Broadway podcast with Kylie Rae on October 14th.
Very cool. All right, let's see. We have maybe like one or two more questions here that we did not address. Somebody's not putting these questions in the chat room.
I'll take Zac Efron. He's a handsome boy.
Zac Efron's good. What do you make of Leo Rush?
I don't know. I don't know. He's okay. He's great. I mean, he's a phenomenal worker. I just hope he sticks around if he's going to do anything. I saw that he's doing like stock tips, investment tips. So I don't know.
I think that's very interesting. So tomorrow's Dynamite. This is the first time we've done a show on Tuesday in like ages. And we're going to have a lot to talk about next week.
We are. Yeah, because you're doing Comic-Con.
I am doing Comic-Con. If anybody's going to Comic-Con, come say hi. Escape from the Undertaker is also on Netflix.
It is. Did you watch it?
I did not.
So it's an interactive film with the New Day and the Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
So is the Undertaker like a wizard again?
I think so.
Is this Saw but in WWE Universe?
I think so. I think probably the most minimal Undertaker stuff. Like he just raises his arm. I would like it if he showed up as like Cowboy Taker.
I want the Undertaker to host like a Ghoul Hour. On TV?
like Svengoolie?
Yeah.
I hate that guy, by the way.
Svengoolie?
Yeah.
I wanted to do like a horror. Mm. What was that show on TNT? Remember that? Like what Elvira used to do.
Oh, like a horror host.
Like a horror host? I wanted The Undertaker to be a horror host on USA.
Okay.
And he just does, like, it's like old school horror films, and he just talks about being a whatever he is.
I think it would be funny if you apply that concept.
From the realm. You know?
I think it would be funny if you apply that concept, except he just introduces all the shitty shows on USA, where he's like, up next, Monk. For 7 hours.
Yeah. Suits.
Suits.
Join us for our Saturday Suits Marathon.
If you think that's scary, here is 8 hours of psych.
And followed by La Femme Nikita.
The Femme Nikita, they keep trying with that property.
They did it twice, right?
I think so.
All right, what else do we have? Anything else?
It's Undertaker as the new Elvira.
I'm into this. All right, let's do two more questions and we're done.
Do you think we're going to get Adam Cole and Bobby Fish on TV as a interaction? This is from the Yankee Power.
Maybe the Yankee Power?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the Yankee Power? Like the New York Yankees?
The Yankee Power.
Very, very proud of being a Northerner.
Very proud of winning the Civil War.
I would hope so, right? Don't you think they should do something? You know, yeah. or they come in, he loses, Adam Cole shows up to help him, and they freaking attack him, and you set up an Adam Cole, Bobby Fish. Match.
You think he gets like super kicked?
Yeah, because they weren't his real friends. He has his real friends.
I don't know, man. Right? I do think this is good. This is wrestling is so, this is fantasy booking in Tony Khan's pocket right now, where in 3 years
he has everything. Yeah, he has within, all those matches.
Within 3 years, you're gonna get the super faction of Undisputed Era on AEW Dynamite, having like balls to the wall matches with the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle.
I don't know, man. I don't. There's a lot of factions.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too many.
New Japan style, man. I'm cool
New
with
Japan
that.
Style. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It doesn't bother me. I'm fine with it. I've been screaming for years how is it that the bad guys all are friends and none of the good guys are friends? They suck.
It's interesting, right? Well, Moxley's got one buddy.
Moxley, yeah, but he's like, that's his gimmick, though. He's a loner.
And Jurassic Express.
Like John Cena. Uh-huh. John Cena getting beat up by like five heels. Mm-hmm. Now one person tries to help him. You know why? Because they think he's a piece of crap in the back.
Okay.
I mean, if why else wouldn't you?
Okay, so when you go by that logic, you're absolutely right. But John Cena never got the save from anybody, right? Nobody ever came out to save him.
Nobody ever.
That's interesting.
Ayaz with the line of the night. Coming up at 10 p.m., you will rest in Peacemaker, starring George Clooney and Nicole Kidman.
That's very good. Ayaz, that was fantastic.
Fantastic. All right, are we wrapping up?
Yeah, we're done.
All right, guys, that's it for today. Rich is going to Comic-Con on Thursday. If you're there, just take your finger, put it right in his butt. if you're there, go say hello to him. I will not be at Comic-Con under any circumstances.
I know, man.
Ever.
I know.
Ever again.
I know.
That woman sneezed on me, and that was it for me.
Tickets are not sold out yet, which is rare. Which is rare, but tickets are not sold out. They're still available, so my wife might come with me one day. Number two, we could have done a panel. They're so, I don't want to say desperate, but they need
a Batman panel.
They need so much content that I got an email saying, hey, if you want to do a panel, you could do a panel, basically.
Wow.
So we could have done a Batman panel.
We could have done a Batman
to
panel.
One person, Adam Misch.
Adam Misch would have been there. And Noah, too. Noah would have been there.
Noah would have been there.
Noah definitely would have been there. Yeah, guys, that's it for this week. I'll be around. We're live, pal, going, I think, 4 o'clock. I'll be there for that. I believe so.
Right on.
Unless something changes. We're live pal with Denise on F4W, and then I got a big announcement probably next week.
Sounds good.
Kind of all connected.
Very exciting.
Yeah. I'll see you on Sundays, 2 hours every Sunday. See you guys.
Uh-oh.